is July 1st. Take no offense. Questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, it's so nice to see a room filled with gods and goddesses. I do hope that that is finally sinking in, that we are remembering that we are one with the only power, the only intelligence, and the only wisdom in the universe. And that power, intelligence, and wisdom we call God, and we are one with that energy, whatever you wish to call it. There is no other way that that can be done. We are not outside of it. We are not separated from it. We are one with it. In fact, we are the thing itself. And we have to remember that. What do I mean when I say we are the thing itself? If you read Ernest Holmes' book, Science of Mind, the first couple chapters, one of the chapters is the thing itself, and he always referred to God as the thing itself. So, we are the thing itself. There can be no other way to get around that, or to skirt it, or not to let it come into your consciousness. If that's the only thing out there, and that we say that God created us, then we have to be part of that. So we have to be part of the thing itself. So try to remember that for yourselves. And I apologize for last week. I just got ambitious. I thought there were 5 Mondays in last month, and it's 5 Mondays in this month. So we can do questions and answers. And we still have plenty of time because there's 5 Mondays in July. So I will open it to questions and answers. It doesn't have to be on that talk. Take no offense, which was all last month. If you have any metaphysical question, I'll deal with that. Or if you have a medical question, I can do that.
Medical.
So I'm open for questions, people.
Well, I have something to say.
Go ahead.
It's not a question. All last week I was hearing on the media that I believe it was Kanye West who said he made the public statement that he was God. And everyone is in an uproar over that, saying how pompous and how arrogant and how could he possibly, I mean, they're really coming down on him very hard.
Do you remember who else they came down on when she said that?
Shirley
MacLaine stood up and said, I am God.
Years ago.
People will not allow that to happen, you know, because they don't want to. You know, they want God someplace else. They want something that they can blame things on. So they do not want to take that responsibility that you really are the thing itself. So, in order to take no offense and to get around that, you can say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, because everyone is God. So, but why they're taking such offense, that has to be the branding churches that are taking the offense. Because any time that you say you're God, I know they almost crucified poor Shirley MacLaine for saying that years and years ago. But she was on a spiritual journey at the time, and that came to her, and that makes absolute sense. If you can say that you are God, or all that I am is God, you say, but I'm not all that God is. Because we have to get that connection, and traditional churches are not going to teach you that, because they want God outside somewhere. And there's nothing outside of us, and we're learning that more and more. We learn that with science. We certainly learn that with physics now, especially with quantum physics. Everything is connected. There is no such thing as separation. But for centuries, people have taught separation, and people still think there's me and God instead of me as God. And you must think of yourself that way. Me as God. You see, because God is the only life force, the only energy, the only intelligence, the only wisdom that we are all drawing from. That's why we make this statement. I live, move, and have my being in the mind of God. Because there's no other mind. There's no other mind. People may try to use another mind, but it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. There's only one consciousness going on. And we're partaking from that consciousness, and we're also adding to that consciousness. So we want to add God thoughts and so forth to that consciousness so that we don't have this thing that we call race mind, which is also, by the way, many people get that upset and get, not upset, they get that misunderstanding there. They think there's God consciousness and race mind consciousness. No, race mind consciousness has to be inside of the consciousness of God. And we look at that, and we pick on that, and we add to that also. When you do anything that's negative, derogatory, and all that, you're adding to race mind. But race mind is contained within the mind of God. It's not someplace else either. Otherwise, we would have two things going on. And we would have duality and all that, and there's no such thing as duality, and there's no such thing as separation. And we're seeing that more and more and more. And they're proving it more and more. Science is finally proving it. And Ernest Holmes in his book also said, one day religion and science will walk hand in hand with each other. Will walk hand in hand, and that's where it's coming. See, we go through this idea that everything is in departments and separated. That's how we got into this horrible thing that we have all these specialists. You're saying they only know one thing. You have to go to 9,000 different specialists to figure out the whole thing instead of one. And you can go to one and get it all. So, with that said, anybody else? Question, Jeremy?
My question was a little different, but I mean, not necessarily about the topic, but it would more have to do, like, if you could talk more on the positive mental attitude for thinking about healing, like health. Right. Better health.
All right, you have to start out always with the present. With the premise that we are perfect health. And we were born with perfect health. When anything besides perfect health comes up, it is because you have gotten off center. And because you're listening to something else that's going on. But if you bring yourself back to center, you will find perfect health. You never lose your health. You're saying, people say, oh, I've lost my health, I've lost this. No, you don't lose that. It's like trying to lose your spirit and so forth, or your soul. Many people say, oh, it's a lost soul. Souls can't get lost, people. They just can't. God knows where everything is. So, we are in race mind with the idea of sickness and ill health. You see, we find that all the time out in the world. You watch television, you find it constantly. They're always looking for some new disease to pop up, something new to happen. And that's all right, that's a mindset. We came up with doctors and all. And those doctors are using all that they can, and God is working in them also. But we have to make a leap of faith one of these days, and realize that we can do all that stuff for ourselves, and that we don't have to be sick in the first place. So, does that help you at all?
Dallas, excuse me. In relationship, piggybacking on his question, so that is like because when you get off center, then you attract it into your, is that what you're saying? You attract
your center is always pure love.
Right.
And when anything's happening to you that is causing any disruption in your consciousness, you've moved yourself off of center. So you have to love yourself back to center again. And you have to realize that your center is totally love, and that love is connected directly to this power that we talk about all the time. And that center can never be affected, you see, identify disease or anything. It cannot show disharmony of any type. Also, the very clever little thing, and you've probably heard this many times, disease broken down is dis-ease. You have to bring it back to harmony. You have to always bring yourself back to harmony.
I was going to ask, what is the best way to bring yourself back to center?
You have to sit down and love yourself. It's all in love. Not
so
this.
I matter and I'm worthy, deserving of.
And totally lovable. And then visualize yourself coming back to center and visualize that your center here, your solar plexus. Visualize that as an absolute solid core of love, which can never leave you. And then make that core grow out. Make it grow out. And if you're not feeling right, say to yourself, I'm off center. I'm going to sit down and bring myself back to center. Well, how do you do that? You sit down and you imagine that. You have to use your imagination. It's the greatest tool we have been given. And it works every time. In August, I will do a whole thing on bringing yourself back to center and being able to stay on center and being able to know when you're on center and being able to empty your mind of all past occurrences and so forth. Many people in this teaching absolutely believe that thoughts go someplace and do something, and if they hold a thought long enough, they can manifest something. That makes absolute sense to them, but they're not able to do it. And it makes absolute sense, and that's the way it actually works. But they always leave a step out, you see. A religious science leaves a step out, too. You have to start with a clean vessel, meaning your mind must be cleared of all the negativity that you have collected over your lifetime. And I tell you this, so many people want abundance and prosperity, but their thoughts are always dwelling on lack and limitation. If your thoughts are dwelling on lack and limitation, you can sit till the cows come home and ask for prosperity, and you are not going to get it. You are not going to get it. But you can get anything you want once you clear your mind. Once you clear your mind. We like to hold on to things. We like to hold on to what our parents told us. We like to hold on to what schools told us. We like to hang on to what other people said bad about us and all. You have to let all that go. Does anyone remember in the Bible when they asked Jesus, how do you pray? Remember? He said, you have to empty all that stuff out. If you come to pray and you're holding a negative in your mind, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We're not taught that, and we're also taught to hold things and to remember things. And I will tell you, the best thing in the world is to forget, forget, forget. Because you're only living in the moment. Do you want to bring all that stuff into this moment? No wonder the moment's so crowded. So we get rid of those things. And I'll give you techniques and so forth how to do that, so that you are able to manifest. Because I know people that have been in this teaching 20 years or more, and they can't manifest, you know, a bag, a brown bag, or any. They just can't do it. They know the teaching up one side and down the other. But they cannot do it because they cannot get the garbage out of their mind. And you must get that out. And it's easy to do. You just have to go to a different level of consciousness where that does not exist. And we can all do that, by the way. You do that with meditation. You do that with all kinds of... There are all kinds of techniques for your mind. For your mind. And that's what this whole thing is about. It's controlling your thinking and managing your mind so that you can get what you want. But we have so many things stored back there. We've got to get rid of all that stuff. I don't know. It's very hard to put something new into a vessel that's already full. So you have to have an empty vessel to start. And the way you get an empty vessel is to go to a different state of consciousness where you will actually feel and see the oneness of all life, where everything is connected. We'll do that next month. I know you have a question, young man.
She's going to talk anyway.
Speak up. Oh. Nothing, Christine?
Not really, no.
All right. Oh, there's Jerry back again. Good.
Well, I just had a thought. I was kind of curious about, you know, again, a good proper positive attitude for, you know, you're right when you said, like, you might, when you talk about from goodness to coming, you got to make room for it by letting some of the, maybe not bad, but I mean stuff that's,
yes,
you know, you don't need out. So, but what about, like, with people, where you're involved with the people in your life that you don't like? I mean, they're not, you know, they're...
Does this have anything to do with Christine?
Maybe. But, I mean, probably, it's probably something that happens to everybody.
You must love those people, bless those people, and release those people. Everyone wants somebody else to change, and everyone wants to bring everyone up to your way of thinking or to your consciousness. Those people are at that level. You must let them be at that level and figure their own self out. Does that help?
Love them and bless them.
Love them, bless them, and release them.
Release them.
Yes. You release them right out of
here. I had to do that with a few of my friends, because it was just, they were just draining me every time we were together. And I realized through Dallas teaching that there, it wasn't my job to change them. They were existing down here at their level. And, you know, not that I just keep them way out here.
Yeah.
I really keep them
way out. You don't hate them or anything, but people who don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, there's nothing you can do about it.
And in some cases, you might have to still be around.
Absolutely. But that's a wonderful lesson. Love them, bless them, release them, but don't let them affect you in any way. You're allowing them to affect you. Why would you let somebody affect you?
What happens if you're a little bit of, like,
well, that's
my
son. Yes, I'm going to say. You have to love him, bless him, and release him.
I do all the time.
And he keeps coming back like a bad penny.
Like a bad penny.
Like a bad.
Yeah, it's very hard to do.
Yes, it is. It's a very difficult thing to do. Because why? We're taught that we have to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught that we have to be nice.
But then the other side of that is not being nice.
You don't have to be completely ugly, but you don't have to be so nice. You're saying. We all suffer from that thing because as children, you were taught, be nice to that person. Be nice to that person. Yeah, I'm not nice anymore.
No, there you are.
Everyone is on a journey, and everyone is going that way. And I'll help them along the way. But if they're going to try to get to me, no. No. So all you can be is an example.
guess my question earlier that I've been formulating is about that. If we're all God, then those people that bother me or I feel like operating on a lower level are part of are God too.
Yes, absolutely. So that's why you have to love them, bless them, and release them. You cannot get away from this idea of God. Everyone is God. Some of us show it differently than others. But everyone is God.
But those who don't show it don't know it.
That's it.
They're not in touch.
They're not in touch.
So that means that we have to be more tolerant?
You have to be more tolerant. You have to say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
That is so hard for me.
I know, but we have to do it. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. We would like everyone to be wonderful. We'd like all this, but there's no such thing as evil or an evil person, but it certainly appears that way sometimes. Certainly appears that way. And here again, we can't judge by appearances. That help you, Minnie?
But Dallas, I don't necessarily feel good after. Well, I have to think about that. I was going to say, I don't necessarily feel good after I let. And that's, in my book, that's letting something slide.
Yes. But one of the things with you, Paula, is you were raised to be a good girl.
So what?
You were raised to be a good girl.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you have it. So that's why you feel the way you feel, because you think you're not being good. There's no such thing as good, bad, or indifferent. There's just being.
Okay. Just being.
Yes, just being. But you have that conflict going on because you must be good. We all suffer from that to some extent. We all suffer from that. Yes.
And I must be right.
Well, of course. Good girls are always right.
It's okay to say to a friend, you know, something like, oh, you always have to be a good girl. Or, you know,
right.
You can say that to them.
Absolutely. You don't have to be such a good girl. Because we don't, what we're trying to do is not become puppets of our conditioning all the time. And before we know it, we fall into that category. And then we're not thinking for ourselves. We're letting something else think for us. And there's nothing wrong with being a good girl. Just don't get upset about it. Don't you have a question, too?
No.
Back to you, Jerry.
Well, another doctor just raised in my mind is this notion of, well, you know, like part of the theme for your class has to do with, you know, like wealth, you know, like money wealth, and but it, well, I mean it, but you know, I was just thinking about, like, I kind of believe that although money is a great thing to have, I don't think that it's necessarily of all the good things there are to have. I don't know that I would place it real high. I mean, I think that a person is far more wealthy if he has very little money, enough to live on, but is peaceful and content and happy.
Absolutely, and that's what we're striving for. Remember, money is always going to be the side effect of your consciousness. But you do not need money to have abundance and prosperity. And you can feel happy in the whole works without that. Other things, you have to open up to the universe and what it's doing for you. And things are going to come into your life constantly. constantly. And it doesn't require, it's always God working through other people. It's always God opening up channels. We never take that away because God is always your source and your supply. But if you think you have to come up with all the stuff all the time, you're not giving God a chance. You have to say, God is my source and my supply, and this thing called money is always coming to me. And it will come to you. And that's building a prosperity consciousness. Pardon?
It does.
It does. Absolutely. Things happen all the time. Wonderful things. Which require no money. Money is never the issue, and people always want to make money the issue about everything. And when you realize it. Pardon?
People who don't have the money, it's an issue for
them. Well, it's an issue for them. But they don't. But they don't know that it has to do with their consciousness. Now we'll go back to this master teacher Jesus. He said the poor will always be among us. The poor in consciousness will always be among us. If those people knew that God was their source and their supply, things would change for them. But they think they're poor. I have no money, but I've never thought I was poor. I think it was Mike Todd who said, I've had money and I've not had money, but I've always been rich. And that's what you must remember. You're always rich. And people lose money all the time, they make it right back again because of their consciousness. It comes right back to them. It has to do with your thinking. It has to do with your mind, your consciousness. So think prosperous thoughts, think abundant thoughts. And the main thing is to love yourself and say, I deserve this. I am worthy of this. And things will come to you. Things will come to you. It's difficult. I have trouble sometimes with it. You want me to tell you a story? I'll tell you a story. Last Thursday, I was out with a friend of mine, Jean. I knew Jean for I don't know how many years, and then I lost contact with her for about 3 or 4 years. And now we've started up again, and we were in Glendale, and she wanted to go to the Cheesecake Factory to eat. I said, fine. And of course, I said, let me get the bill. She said, oh no, I want to pay this, Dallas. I want to pay this. I said, well, all right, if you want to pay. She said, I also want to stop at Barnes and Noble's if it's all right with you. And I said, fine, we may stop at Barnes and Noble's. So we went up to the third floor, and they had a sale on Nooks. And she said, I want to buy a Nook, Dallas. That's why I came in here. I said, oh, that's nice. She said, do you have one? I said, I do not have a Nook. She said, I would like to buy you one. Mm-hmm. I said, now, Jean, that's too much. No, you're not going. She said, Dallas, I would like to buy you one. Well, then I had to remember, this is God. And I wanted a Nook.
And Nooks are expensive.
So she bought two. One for her, one for me. And then she said, well, you have to have a case for it.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought the case, and you have to have this, that, and this. And I said, she said, no, let me get, I want to do this for you. And then you know what she said? Thank you for allowing me to do this for you, Dallas. And I thought, oh, she doesn't even know metaphysics, and there she's using them. So I had to say, thank you very much, and I'm delighted to receive it. I am delighted to receive it. Money is never the issue. And I was thinking about, I didn't know what they were called, but I wanted to get something where I can read books on. And she said, well, this is what, you'll be able to do that.
They're great.
Yeah. So, there, that's just one example. But these examples happen all the time to me. I could go on forever telling you about wonderful things that happened to me. Do you remember my trip to Israel? Yes. Yes. All that. Oh, let me do that for you. I want to do it. All right. Thank you very much. So, yeah. It works. This teaching absolutely works. And it always blows my mind. And when she said that, I did. I thought, oh, she doesn't have that. She doesn't have to spend that money. Maybe she doesn't have any money. All that stuff goes up, you know. And she it kept insisting about 3 or 4 times. And finally I said, now, as you're in this teaching, don't refuse a gift. And when I said, okay, you may do that for me, she immediately said, thank you for allowing me to do this. I've been wanting to do this for you. So there you have it. But I stay open to those things. And I, you know, and I checked my consciousness and my mind and said, now, am I embarrassed? Am I a gigolo? Am I doing something wrong? You know, all that crap comes up. You have to get rid of all that crap. And then I said, thank you very much. I'm willing to receive this. You see, most of the people that don't get something is they're not willing to receive it. They think it has to come a different way. Which reminds me of another cute story. Women who go out with men, you know, oh, I can't go out with him. He'll buy, after he buys me a big meal and does this and the other thing, he'll want to go to bed with me. Don't you know the word no? You know, why would... If he wants it, if he has those expectations, and you don't have to say, oh, well, you bought me a meal, I have to go to bed with you. You know? Don't do those things.
I Look.
Pardon?
I would pay him.
You would pay. Oh, that's a good one. There, Jerry. There's there's abundance and prosperity. No, we just have to look at things differently. And that's what this teaching is all about, is looking at things differently and getting rid of that conditioning, you know, and we're all have been conditioned. Oh, I couldn't take that. Oh, you know, give it to me. Thank you. I'll take it. Yeah. And I feel good, and she feels good. And
everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. You know? So, question?
In this vein, the people that, let's say, win the lottery,
yes,
and they lose it, or somebody that gets inheritance and then they go through it,
yes,
is it because they don't have the mental equivalent of it, or that they don't feel worthy of it, or
usually
all the above?
All the above, but usually it's because they don't feel worthy, so it goes right out because they don't, you know, we're taught if we get money, you have to earn it. Mm-hmm. You see? And they get that money and they have nothing invested in it. So it goes out.
Maybe they feel guilty about
right.
it.
They feel guilty that they have it, all that kind of stuff. Money has a whole different energy around it always. You know, money has a very strong energy, and usually not for good, usually for bad, the money. That's why we use that money as the root of all evil.
John has a client that, a young guy, he was 19 years old when he won the lottery. $19 million. In less than a year, it was all gone.
Yes.
Every penny.
Yes, goes right through their hands.
Now he's trying to sue to get something back. All gone in less than a year.
Yeah. And see, suing for money and so forth is a very bad energy. You know, that's a very, very bad energy.
Even if it's the right condition, in other words, somebody really did him wrong and took the money, is it still...
And where are you thinking from?
I don't know. I'm just
where are you thinking from? You know exactly where you're thinking from. you're thinking from your ego mind that there has to be right and wrong, and that somebody has to be punished and somebody has to do this. And I'm telling you, to get in embroiled with money is not a good idea.
Well, I was told by my other spiritual leader that a girlfriend of mine borrowed money from me,
yes,
and did not pay me back,
yes,
and a year went by, and I told him about this. He said, sue her.
Yes.
And I did. And I won.
Good.
Course.
From
but
small
I,
claims court?
I'm sorry?
From small claims,
yes,
court? And did she pay you?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I won. But
well, you can win in small claims court, but they don't have to pay.
Right.
There's no
yeah,
arm
right
of enforcement.
Exactly, you have the judgment on it.
Yes.
No, she paid. But I can understand what you're saying about it's negative energy because I lost a friend. But I don't think she was a friend to begin with,
yes,
because had she been a friend,
right,
she would have contacted me,
yes,
within that year.
Yes, that's
so
true.
That's the only negative I can see,
yeah,
that came out of that. She wasn't a friend anyway.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. When, yes, you know my business adventure with the nightclub. Now, had I, with everything that I lost financially, and I now see today, it was when you said you have to forgive these people, I was like, oh my God. You know, they took everything from, are you kidding me? And I did, and I had to. And
these ex-Catholics.
No, but as I sit here and listen to this, I'm thinking, you know, had I had the chunk of money that I did get, and that a business partner, a friend said, take it, cause, and just walk away from it. This is get your peace of mind back, and then you said the same thing.
Yeah.
Take the loss financially, but go ahead. And I did, and yet I'm thinking it was very negative when I was so negative when I was going through all that. And taking the small bit of money I did retrieve was a peace of mind. You know, I was just glad to get them out of my life and away from,
yeah,
it, take the loss. So,
anytime suing and going to all that takes its toll on you. Takes its toll on you.
I just got that money from my spouse actually. I have
nothing to do with it. Well, no, you have nothing to do with it, but that's a different way, a different thing. But I'm delighted you got that money. You know. Go ahead.
So, having to sign something that has to do with money is negative.
Where did you pick that up? Because you're dealing with that friend of yours, that
snake coming out of your mouth.
Snake.
Even though she's a god, remember.
She is a god, but you knew she was a snake when you picked her up.
Because other people have said she's a snake. Well, because she hasn't been.
Well,
but I forgave her, and my heart.
I know, but you picked her right back up again. I told you to love her, bless her, and release her, and you didn't release her. You picked her up and said, now she's going to be all right because I've done all this, and she turned right around and bit you again.
But she doesn't think she has.
Oh, well.
Okay,
of course she's not thinking that.
I just don't think signing anything that has to do with money is a good idea.
Oh, well, I think contracts and so forth, we have to think of those things.
I think that depends on what it is.
Yeah.
But you told me not to.
Well, I wouldn't have signed that. No.
But I haven't, and I'm not going to.
Oh, good. Yeah, don't.
Well, I've kind of, in more recent years, I've kind of come up with this notion that loaning money to people is not a good thing to do.
Exactly, you're right.
That it creates a situation by where it well, first of all, they're in a desperate state when they ask for it, and the temptation is upon them to make promises they probably can't keep.
Yes.
And in doing so, they ruin the country.
Yes. I absolutely was raised, and I absolutely believe Shakespeare: neither a lender nor borrow be. Do not do that. If you want to give somebody money, you give them money. You say, and you don't expect it to come back from that person. But it'll come back from somewhere. But if you think it's going to come back from that person and you dwell on that, all the other channels of the universe are closed down for you. Yes. Well, I have people who borrowed money. And every once in a while that pops up in my mind, and I have to clear that out. Because I could have lots of fun. I'd like to punch them and do this, that, and the other thing. But what good's that going to do? You know? So I have to love them, bless them, and release them every time it comes into my consciousness. But I'll tell you, I'm not upset about it. So I think that's a marvelous thing. I'm not upset about it. And do I want them to be punished in any way? I'm over that kind of stuff.
I am too, since I got my money.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Still, we're unworthy and we don't hold on to the money that we have received. Is the best way to combat that or to stop that is to just change your thoughts?
Yes. But you have to go to a deeper level. Just,
yeah.
Yes. And that's why people aren't manifesting, because they never go to the deeper level and really empty the whole container. So you have a residual going on in there. And that residual is always going to be the controlling factor. Yeah. Old thoughts always take precedent over new thoughts. Always. Because they've been around longer.
So you can't just change the thoughts. You have to empty them.
You have to empty them. You have to empty all of that out. And then you'll be able to manifest just everything that you... Because that's... let me see how I can put that. We say, you know, what you think about, you bring about. Well, many people are thinking prosperity, prosperity, and it never comes to them. Or they're thinking lover, or whatever they're thinking doesn't come to them because they still have not gotten rid of that. You cannot graft all this stuff on top of something. You know, it has to be open and pure and all that out of you, you see. It festers, just like, you know, a pimple or something. If you don't get the whole thing out, it comes right back, doesn't it? It just...
So you have to clear all your mind out.
You have to clear all your mind out and all the concepts that you have about yourself and about the world and about God, because we all have these concepts, you see. And this makes absolute sense that you can create your own reality, you can do this, that, and the other thing. But since it doesn't happen, you see, you say, why didn't it happen? I believe all this. Well, you haven't emptied yourself.
You have to wait till August.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Just go ahead. Do it now. Go ahead.
It'll come around very quickly.
You have to do it every day, though.
I mean, you always
maybe
have to.
Every minute of every day.
Yes.
Always empty your mind.
You have to start.
You're
to
a point where it's now empty. And you don't have to...
Oh, it'll get better and better where you won't have all that static going on all the time. How many people here still have mind talk going on all the time? How many people still have a critical mind going on? So you can't have a critical mind and all this mind chatter going on and expect to manifest things.
Practice.
Yes, shut up. Get out of here. But we'll do other techniques so that you can actually get to a different vibration in consciousness where you will see that you are one with everything and where none of this stuff that's going on out there has anything to do with you whatsoever. See, and we keep buying into this, what's going on out there. Remember, it's only a movie you're watching. It's all that's in front of you is a movie.
It's funny because as long as I've been coming here and listening to this, I still have days where I just forget to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's only once I get almost nauseous, you know, that I sit and realize, oh,
Yes. Well, remember that story I tell about the boat sinking, and they do everything and everything, and finally the captain said, well, we're going to pray. Well, I'm just going to have to pray. And the woman says, oh, my God, has it come down to that? Because we don't think to do it at first. When most people pray, they get desperate, and it's their last ditch stand about anything instead of praying all the time.
And also, I think there's a little part of me that my way back doesn't believe it.
Yes. And that's when you have to say, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Even the Pope has unbelief going on.
Mm-hmm. I bet he wouldn't admit it.
Well, no, he wouldn't admit it. We all have unbelief going on. There's too much bombarding us all the time. But you're working on it, and you see it, and that's because now you're becoming aware, you're noticing, and that's when you start to change. You see? Yeah.
This is a little sidebar. My sister again, who's a, she says, a devout Christian. And we were in a discussion about some social issue. And I said, she didn't know what to do. I said, what would God do? And she said, I don't know.
Yes.
I said to her, well, that's a question that we ask, we're taught to ask ourselves in the science of mind.
Yes.
And yes, you do know what God would do, and I named all things that God is love, God is good, God, you know, all the things. I said, so choose from that
yes.
bouquet, and you know what God would do.
Yes.
But it never came to her to put herself in God's position.
So absolutely not, because she separated from God.
Absolutely.
There's
no connection.
No. And that what the other thing that they do, I told you this story before, and I'll tell it since it's appropriate at the present moment. My friend Doug the Baptist has a landscape business. And one time we were coming out of his Baptist church, the one I was thrown out of, but I hadn't been thrown out at that point. And we were driving home, and he said to me, Dallas, do you think I should take that sledgehammer and really beat that truck up so that my insurance company pays me more? I said to him, Doug, you just came out of church. He said, what does that have to do with anything? That's church. This is business. They just disconnect. They never get it. But if you ask him, he's the most pious person in the world.
Mm.
You know? But he cannot do the whole thing as one ball of wax. He has to keep separate. That's business. God is not bothered with business. Not bothered with business. Now that reminds me of another quick story. I've told you this before. How many people are familiar with the store Lord and Taylor?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Taylor did that store. There was no Mr. Lord. He took God as his partner. And called it Lord and Taylor. And it worked. And that's what you have to know, that this thing called God, you can take in and you can do things with it. That idea that yes, God is mighty, but God is also useful. We've got to start to use God. But in this teaching or any of the teachings that are out there, unless you can clear your mind, you're not going to get very far. Because you're just grafting something on top of this old stuff. And you have to get rid of the old stuff. And then you can start over with the whole thing. That's the idea that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people go through life. We just keep reverting right back to that old way of thinking. This is the way the world works. This is the way. Do we know how the world works? No, we're just imitating what other people have done all these years. And we're doing the same thing and thinking this is the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be, you see. Think of everyone would ask themselves, what would God do in this situation? Think of all the stress that would be out of this world. You see? It's just learning to think differently. It's learning to think differently. But in order to do that, that's why so many people we say, change your mind, change your life. And it sounds very simplistic, and it is simplistic. But the thing is to keep it changed. And the other thing is, they don't tell you that you have to start with a clean slate. You see. Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, that has sold millions of copies. How many people became rich?
He did.
He did. But he interviewed Carnegie. He interviewed all the top people at the time that were very wealthy. But they never told him either that you have to clear your mind first. You see? You have to get rid of that. All the other stuff first.
Do you think they knew? Do you think they knew the process?
I think that it was so simple that they knew it and they thought everyone else did. You know how you think, oh, everyone knows that. Everyone knows how to do that's, and it was so simple. That, and so it's not in the book. Nothing is in the book about that, clearing your mind. And that book still sells today, and the millions it sells, because people want to think and grow rich. You can think and grow rich once you start with an empty mind. You see? But we were taught as children. What were some of the things that you were taught as children, especially about money? Money doesn't grow on trees. Who do you think you are? The Rockefellers? You know, I mean, it was just a list of derogatory comments, and that all goes in. All goes into your mind. You have to get rid of it. It's all twaddle. Get rid of it. So, does that help everybody? Can you see that? And I think I think next month, when we start this, you'll see complete difference, because so many people have been in this teaching for 20 and 30 and 40 years, and they still don't get it. They still do not get it. Raymond Charles Barker tells the story. He had that big church at Alice Tooley Hall in New York at Lincoln Center. And a woman that was with him, his congregation, 30-some years, when she was getting ready to make her transition, he was there, and she said to him, "I can't wait to see Jesus." He walked out. He said she never got it. She never got it. You see, she never cleared her mind of that. So, and there's nothing wrong with Jesus, by the way. I mean, he was a teacher. You know, he wasn't all the things that we think, but he was a teacher. So, anyway. Nope, I thought that was a hand going up. With that said, let's stop for this evening, and we'll stop by clearing our minds right here and right now. We will see ourselves as one with this power called God, and we will know that we have the power to clear our minds and to be able to start with an absolutely clean slate. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.